was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace.
Singing that, I was just reading the words, and just it just touched me this morning that we were talking about in Sunday school, a testimony of someone speaking to someone else in a time of need, in a time of thing, how God uses His people and His love. That's because of His unending love and that amazing grace that He provides for each and every one of us. We talk about His love being just His flood and just covers everything. There's no way to put it into words. I don't think a human can speak it into words. But as we worship Him, we can let our spirit and our heart, which knows what the Lord needs to hear, as we lift Him up and honor Him. So good to have y'all with us this morning. Thank you for just joining us and It's a wonderful, beautiful day. I don't know about y'all, but if you opened up this morning and you see here the birds singing and the excitement in the air, it's just, it doesn't matter if it's crisp or if it's warm, if it's raining or the sun's shining. It's all God's day. Because His mercies are new every day. And each and every situation we go through, we can release to Him and know that through that unending love that He's there for us. Love to have y'all with us this morning. I know you're all standing. Not going to keep you standing. We're going to go to the Lord in prayers. We open up this morning. There are a lot of prayer requests. There are a lot of needs. And there are a lot of situations. But I want us to, if y'all do, and I know we're a praying church, love each and every one of you for it. And I know through faith, we're going to release it to God. And as we do each and every situation, we call out spoken and unspoken prayer requests. But God knows our heart. So I'm going to ask if you have a prayer request this morning, just show by the raising of your hand. If you have a need situation, if you have a praise report, let's lift that other hand. Let's thank God, dear Lord. Lord, we just love and praise You. Lord, we thank You for this beautiful day You've given us, dear Lord, for this opportunity to gather in Your house. Lord, may we be here, dear Lord, to worship You, to praise You, dear Lord, and to come before this morning, to come before You to hear Your word. Lord, we ask You to speak to us. Lord, we ask You to touch us, dear Lord. You know each and every situation we're praying for. Dear Lord, we know there's those that need a touch. And dear Lord, we know those that need comfort, those that need protection, those for You to provide. Lord, we have those in our congregation that's traveling this weekend. Lord, those that are helping to minister to the needs of others this weekend, dear Lord. And we ask You to touch each and every one, dear Lord. Those special prayer requests that have come forward, Lord, we ask for You to heal, to mend, to protect. Lord, we know that You're the great I Am. And Lord, we're releasing it to You. Dear Lord, strengthen us, dear Lord, as we seek You. Dear Lord, let Your mercy just fall on each and every one of us, dear Lord. Forgive us for our sins, dear Lord, and just guide us and direct us in everything doing. Dear Lord, we ask now as this service, dear Lord, that You take charge. Lord, it is Yours. And dear Lord, we release it to You. For each and every one watching online, dear Lord, that will feel that urgency, dear Lord, to come to You and to find You and to seek You out, dear Lord. And we know that it's not hard. All we have to do is call on the name of Jesus. And dear Lord, we give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Let's give Him another hand clap of praise. You know, as we talk about it, we're going to sing Jesus Hold My Hand this morning. I know we just did it, but I can't get it off my heart. As we look at prayer requests and needs, and then we know there is a mighty God. Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Praise God indeed. Hallelujah. Y'all sound like you're ready for church this morning. Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am. All right, go right ahead.
He's great, isn't he?
That's who gets the glory. It's God. Amen. As you were bringing that forward, I remember you bringing it up here to the altar. And I know that God is almighty, that he controls each and every situation. He even knows much more than our doctors, no more than much more than man. God is so great and so powerful. Praise God. Love to hear his testimonies. Love to praise his holy name. Love to know that we have that comfort and that peace and that, and we have someone that we can call on, and that's in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. He'll carry him through the rest of the way. And we know God's already healed. He's taking charge of it. Amen. We're just going to release it to him. Let's go ahead and get ready to take up our morning offering. Looking forward to the message this morning and continue to worship and praise the Lord. Stay in this mind frame. Just want, as we get ready to come up, just want to mention Sunday evening the 20th. That's next Sunday, isn't it? It's already here. Been talking about it for a while. And for y'all that remember, they got to join us before Christmas. We had a multi-church service. It was for a wonderful night of praise and worship, wonderful night of hearing the word and worshiping God. And also there was a major love offering taken up that was given to the shop with the cop. With this time we're doing it, and it's going to be quarterly or six, however they're going to do it, probably more like a few months apart. But as we do this multi-church, this one is actually going to be for the battered women and for a couple of things they're listing and things that are need. These are ladies in their families that sometimes left without anything. So not only are we going to have a wonderful time of fellowship, a wonderful time of service, there's going to be a powerful word brought that night. I already know there is, because God's in control. There's also, but then there's going to be a love offering taken up. So we're asking you to come join us. We want to fill the house as we did. It was so great last time. And just make plans to come. It's next Sunday evening the 20th at 6 p.m. If you're watching online, there's any way you can be with us, join us. If you're not a regular, come on. Our church has open doors, and you just come on in, and we'll worship the Lord together. And also, in mentioning to y'all, some of you are going to be just be in prayer as we're getting closer to Easter. We're going to have a little presentation. We're going to have some music, just a little as the service goes forward. But, the Lord, some of you just pray about it, and you're going to be asked if you would help in the Easter play. It's not going to be anything, it's not big, but it's something that we're going to do for the Lord. So just be in prayer about it, and it's easy just to say yes. Yes, I'll do whatever I need to do. Brother Luke, got a pretty smile this morning. Go ahead and ask the Lord just to bless our morning offering. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Journey we walk by faith. There will always be the mountains in our way. But right here in this moment, may our strength be renewed as we recall what God has done. Darkness, it's hard to see. So just be brave and follow where He leads. Greater is the one who's in us than he who's in the world. So child of God, remember the battle is the Lord's. If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, fire, say amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the
Messiah, Lord of all. Amen. Yes. Praise God. Amen. Glory. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Are you excited about Jesus? Amen. Praise God. You know, we can get excited about Jesus when nothing else is exciting, because he's always exciting. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see each and every one of you. Our hopes and prayers for those who are not able to be here with us this morning. We pray that God would just reach out and touch each and every one who stands in need. There's a lot of needs today. Man, I don't have to tell you that. There's sickness, there's affliction, and there is even death and sorrow. So we need to remember our brothers and sisters who are going through these times, that God would just lift them up and encourage them like only God can do. Amen. Amen. Jesus, Messiah, Lord of all. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of Isaiah, the prophet. Into the 8th chapter, the latter part of the 8th chapter, and the beginning of the 9th chapter. Isaiah chapter number 8, beginning with verse number 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves, curse their king and their God, and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth, and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Chapter 9, verse number 1. Nevertheless, everybody say, nevertheless. The dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how we love you, Lord, and how we thank you, God, for your many blessings for this day, for the opportunity and for the desire that you've given us to gather here this morning. Father, our hearts go out to many this morning, God, who are suffering, who are sick and afflicted. Father, some who are sitting by the lost loved one. Father, I pray, God, that you would just comfort them, bless, strengthen, and anoint those who stand in need of prayer. Father, I ask you now, God, that your Holy Spirit would just come down and take charge of this service. Lord, God, just pour out of heaven right now, God, a blessing and an anointing upon this group that is gathered here today. Father, I pray that you would enrich us with your word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, God. Help us to look to you and toward that light, that only light that we have to look forward to. And Father, I humbly ask now that you'll anoint these lips of clay. God, is nothing more than a vessel and an oracle that you might speak to us today, that we'll be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. If you love the Lord, let him know it with a hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Amen. Jesus, Messiah, Lord of all. I ask you a question this morning before we get into the message. Is he, in fact, Lord of all your life? Or just Lord of part of it? Amen. Something to think about. But this morning I want to bring a message entitled Light in a Dark World. Light in a Dark World. We find Isaiah still preaching. Thank God for the ministers that are still preaching. You know, I heard recently this week how that many pastors and many preachers have become very discouraged in the era and the times that we're living in, and the circumstances that we're facing. But this preacher said, keep preaching the word. You know, keep preaching the word, whether things are good or whether they're bad, whether situations are what you want them to be or not, even though it may look dark, even though it may look gloomy, still preach the word. Because how many knows we need to hear the word in good times and bad times as well, especially in the bad times. And Isaiah, bless his heart, he's still preaching. He's still preaching. The multitude, most of the people, have turned from the ways of God, not looking to God for deliverance, but looking in other places. We find, according to Bible history, that the people of Israel had turned to mediums and wizards seeking direction. Let me tell you something. When things are dark, I'm not talking about necessarily the void of light, but I'm talking about spiritual darkness. If you've never been introduced to spiritual darkness, if you've never seen or been around someone who's experiencing spiritual darkness, I want to tell you this morning, I don't want to alarm you, but I just want to tell you, it is a very real thing. Amen. Spiritual darkness can be overwhelming, can be confusing, can be downright scary at times. The children of Israel were used to being led by the Spirit of God. God had, in fact, had spoiled the children of Israel with multitude blessings. Still, they turned and began to seek guidance from other areas. They began to desire to be like other nations, knowing that God's hand was upon them, and they were, in fact, God's chosen people, but they would stray. And here we find that the Bible, or the Bible history, tells us that things were not going really well in the land. There was invasion going on. There were famines rampant. There was starvation. There was sickness. There was affliction. And the faith of the people began to draw less and less toward God and more on what somebody or someone else could do for them. And I don't want to call it a job or profession, but the ability, as it was, for those who so-called could tell the future or speak things as a wizard or a medium became very popular in that time because they told them things that tickled their ears. They told them of a brighter day, of things that would turn around for them. And for a while it worked. They didn't get better, but they still had something to hope for. And then they realized that there was no power nor truth in the mediums or the wizards that were taking their money and giving them empty promises. You know, someone said that history often repeats itself. I'm afraid today that a large majority of people today are looking in the wrong direction. They're looking toward the wrong avenues for help, for encouragement, for just a good word of promise. But in spite of all of the direction, Brother Jim, that they turn, in spite of all of the places that they try to get uplifted or try to get a little hope or a ray of sunshine, for the life of them, things still are growing very dark for those people who are looking in the wrong direction. And Isaiah, in the midst of all of this confusion, in the midst of all of this tragedy, this gloom, this anguish, was still preaching hope. Still preaching a better day. still preaching, turn from your wicked ways. Turn toward the only Jehovah God that there is. The one that Brother Tony just preached recently. Have we forgotten? Children of Israel, have you forgotten what God has done for you? America, have you forgotten where God has brought you from? First Pentecostal Church, have we forgotten the blessings, the miracles, the many things that God has opened doors for us and been there always for us? Are we focusing more on the darkness and the gloominess that surrounds us today? In the midst of all of that, Isaiah was still preaching. Let me tell you something. It's not hard to preach and get a shout and hallelujah, amen, when everybody's feeling good. Amen, when everybody's feeling healthy. Amen, when the jobs are there, plenty of jobs and plenty of jingle in the pocket after the bills are paid. But you know what? Sometimes it's hard to encourage people after they just fill their tank up with gas today. After they've just been to the grocery store and looked on the shelves, the empty shelves, and what they could find, how much more expensive it is. But let me tell you, First Pentecostal Church, let me tell you, saint of God, let me tell you, those people who have weathered the storm, those who have been in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is nothing new. This is the same old weapon that the devil comes against us with. He thinks if he can get our minds off of God, get our eyes off of glory, then he can affect the church. But I'm telling you, somebody somewhere's got to still preach the word. Somebody somewhere has got to tell you, you still got to be born again. You still got to be forgiven of your sin. You still got to look to the cross of Calvary, from where our salvation was bought and paid for. Somebody's got to tell it. Somebody's got to preach. Somebody's got to point them to Jesus Christ, the light of the world. But for all of his preaching, for all of his prophesying, very few people actually turned and obeyed the preaching and the prophesying of Isaiah. Thank God there was a few. God specializes in a few. He never needed the majority to win. He doesn't need my approval. Come on, he doesn't need my opinion. There's a song that says, God is still God, amen. He's God when the lightning flashes. He's God when the thunder rolls, amen. He's God way up in heaven. Thank God because of Jesus Christ. He's God down in my soul. I'm never alone, amen. The battle's never going to be too great for God. As long as I stay in the will of God, God will make a way. Hallelujah, he is the way. But in spite of the majority looking elsewhere, grumbling and complaining, pointing out everything in the world that's wrong. You know, I don't think we need anybody today to point out everything that's wrong in the world. The news media may not understand, the government may not understand, but I can sort of comprehend when I look. I can see things are going bad. Amen. You know, I can see that there needs to be a transformation in this world. There needs to be revival in the land. There needs to be revival in the church. There needs to be revival in the pulpit. Amen. There needs to be revival in our soul. And let us not look toward man. Let us not look toward anything in this world. But let us look to Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord of my life and my salvation. In him will I trust. The people became distressed, bestead, hungry, never satisfied. Everywhere they looked, they saw trouble and darkness and gloom and anguish. The church doesn't need a poor, pitiful me sermon. Church doesn't need a minister to stand in the pulpit, please don't be offended, but to pat you on the back and tell you how bad you got it.
We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll encourage you. But let me tell you what this world needs. It needs old-fashioned preaching, the word of God that'll go out. Don't look to man. Don't look to pastor. Don't look to evangelist. But look to the Lord, amen. He is the word. He was in the beginning. The word was made flesh. He's still alive today. The word is still going out. We need preachers to say, you know what? You need to turn from your wicked ways. You need to come out of the world. You need to be born again. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God. You need to be on fire for God. That's the only thing that we can look forward to in this world. Oh, if that message could get out, if that message could go out on the airwaves today and multitudes of people could turn to Christ, what a better place it would be. Man. But in our luxury, in our daily routines, it really hadn't hit home with us yet. I got food in the closet. Got food in the refrigerator. Got a nice bed to sleep in. Clothes to put on my back. When's the last time you got up and thanked the Lord for everything that He's given you? When we see a mass exodus out of a country, and the only thing that they can grab is just the clothes that they can stick into a backpack, their little kid, or one person said he was taking his musical instrument, he had his violin with him. All those possessions had to be left behind. But you know, I saw something that moved me. I'm not sure that the majority of the United States of America would be this dedicated and committed and consecrated to God to do what some of these people have done. Interviewing them, many times they would just say, this is all I had a chance to take, but we're praying. I noticed that a group of people were under a bridge glorifying and praising God. I noticed in another place, in a little, I don't know if it was an underground place or not, but you know what they were doing? They were glorifying and singing and praising unto God. Let me tell you something. If we will lay down all of our burdens, if we will lay down all of our troubles and all our cares and quit moaning and quit groaning, amen, and begin to glorify and praise God, just like Paul and Silas did in the midst of the jailhouse in the midnight hour, they had every opportunity to groan. They had every opportunity and every right to say, God, where are you now? But they didn't do that because they knew that what was within them was greater than that that was against them. And when the midnight hour came, they began to sing and began to glorify and began to praise God. The jailhouse they were in was shaken. Amen. The stocks fell off. The chains fell aside. Glory to God. Somebody needs to know that. We need to praise God. We need to worship God. We need to sing when we don't feel like singing. And this is who Isaiah was preaching to, those people. And Isaiah, you know, sometimes we think the beginning of a chapter and the ending of the previous chapter was like a different day and a different hour. That's not always the case. You remember this holy word of God was translated into English with punctuation marks and periods and sentence construction. But you can't read just the eighth chapter and forget about the ninth. You can't read 12 chapters of a book and close it when the 13th chapter is the most important chapter in that book, except when it ties everything together. Otherwise, you'll be left hanging, not understanding what's going on. I want to tell you that the 8th chapter of the book of Isaiah is about gloom. It's about pain. It's about anguish. It's about all the invasion. It's about starvation. All of these things are going wrong. But the prophet, amen, the preacher, bless his heart. Glory to God. He looks in the face of adversity. He looks in the face of starvation. He looks at the face of armies invading the land that the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord God had promised them and gave them. He looks at all of that pain and all of that misery, and he preaches a message of hope. A message of victory. And a message of deliverance. There is a wonderful word that he uses to begin the 9th chapter that changes everything. We identify with that word when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Had the word nevertheless not been spoken and adhered to, you and I would be liable for our own sinful nature. Let me take you back to the Garden of Gethsemane. The hours of prayer. The hours of praying, the flesh under subjection. Jesus, the Son of God, prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood. He was trying to get his flesh to be obedient to the Word of God. He prayed for an outlet. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. We know what he was talking about. Is there any other way? Without the cruel act of crucifixion, without the shedding of blood, without the death of your only begotten Son. But one word changed history. One word changed our legacy. One word changed our destiny. That word is nevertheless. It seems terrible, but nevertheless. Things are not going real good, but nevertheless. Amen. Many of the churches, people are falling by the wayside, but nevertheless, God promised and told us in his book, I will have a remnant, I will have a church, I will have a people. I don't know about you, I want to be a part of that people. I don't want to get frustrated, I don't want to quit, I don't want to lay aside all of these things. I want to say, Lord, I came to serve you till the very end. And Isaiah says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was her vexation. I've heard almost every news person, personality, retired general, politician, tell us it's going to get worse. You haven't seen the end of it. It's going to get worse. May not be any better. How can I explain this? Some very unlearned, unspiritual person said, this is the new norm. But Isaiah said, no. Isaiah said, it ain't happening. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. Glory to God. Listen, things around us may not get any better, but that doesn't mean my God is still not just as powerful as he was when he spoke to the Red Sea and he divided it. Amen. God is still God. He's still in charge. And as long as we keep God first in our life, it will get better. It's going to get a lot better. We're going to leave this walk of life. We're going to go to a glorified place. We're going to receive a glorified body. There'll be no war. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no sadness. There'll be no more affliction. All will be heaven and glory forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. It's going to happen. It's going to get better. Verse number 2. He said the people walked in darkness, seen light. It's where it gets very interesting. Gets a little deep here. I mean, we've always been encouraged. Preach the word. Testify. Witness. Work for the Lord. Get people in. Get them saved. Be a light to them. Let them see your life. Let them tell them how good it is to serve the Lord. Isaiah tried all that. He preached goodness. He preached salvation. He preached to turn you back on the world and go and turn your eyes and your soul to God. But very few adhered until the world got so dark, until things got so bad, until it seemed like all hope was gone. And it seemed like the very misery and pain and anguish were etched on people's faces as they walked down the street. They had a frown on their face. There was no joy anymore. There was no singing in the land of Canaan. There was no more glorifying and praising God, because everything was about them and everything was about all the pain and everything that was happening around them. And they lost their joy because of the darkness. But in the midst of all the darkness, now I want you to think about this. We got the lights on today. But actually, we could cut those lights off. There would be enough light coming in through the windows. We could open up the blinds and probably filter in enough light to get through the surface. Because it's not that dark. But I want to take you into the spiritual room now. In the same scenario, in the same setting, tonight about 10 o'clock, and we open up those blinds and we cut the lights out. And let's just say, for convenience sake, that is one of those moons that I told Trey was a thumbnail moon. He said, "No, Papa, that's a crescent moon." And he was right. Just a little bit of light. And we were almost void of light completely. And someone takes out their cell phone. You know, this is my generation. I'll be looking at, I need a flashlight. I got my cell phone. I'm just not used to using my cell phone as a flashlight. But people today, they use it, you know, it's got a light. And in the midst of all of that darkness, someone lights that cell phone. And every eye is directed to that light, because we were completely encompassed with darkness. Now the verse, the adverse of that, or the opposite of that, you may turn your light on your cell phone now, probably nobody would pay attention to it, because there's plenty of light. For the longest period of time, we have been so blessed, we haven't really had to walk through darkness. We think frustration is waiting 15 minutes in the drive-thru. That's an inconvenience. When generations had to wait in a line to get stamps to buy food and gas. Yeah, gas was cheap, but they didn't have the money to buy it. When things get so dark and so gloomy and so bad, the least bit of light gets folks' attention. Maybe Isaiah was thinking, "Lord, I've been preaching 40, 50 years. And now this has got more people's attention than all of the sermons that I preached for 40 or 50 years." Not discounting the messages that he preached. Don't get me wrong. He was doing what God said. And God sort of let me know that if preaching is not going to get folks saved, he's going to cause something that might get them saved. And see, God don't play. He's not politically correct. He's not worried so much about our feelings as he is about where we're going to spend eternity. His love is great. His love is immaculate. His love is up beyond our ability to even fathom or comprehend. That's how much he loves us, and not only us, but he loves the world. So things may be happening to cause people to look to the light and see the light. And Isaiah begins to tell them, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, that they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. I still believe there's going to be an end time revival. I want to shock you, church. It may not happen in First Pentecostal Church. It may not happen in the sanctuaries around us. It may happen in the world. God may pour out his spirit and his anointing and his Holy Ghost upon people that you and I have never been able to reach. And it may be because they've got nowhere else to turn, and things are so bad that they've got to look to the great light. And then Isaiah says in verse number 6, for unto us a child is born. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Not an ordinary child, but that great light is born. A son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There is no peace outside of Jesus Christ. We know that. We understand that. So many people are still groping in darkness. We've got to let the light of Christ shine through us. St. John chapter number 8 and verse number 12. After this promise a son is given, we find Jesus speaking. In verse number 12 of the 8th chapter, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Man, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Because that's where my light is. Man, that's where my hope is. That's where my victory is. That's where my deliverance was bought and paid for. Amen, with his precious shed blood. And Jesus again telling them that I am the light of the world. He gets even a little plainer in St. John chapter 3, verses 19 through verse number 21. Jesus' words, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Satan loves darkness. He thinks darkness covers the deeds of evil, when in fact that is not the case at all. Our Heavenly Father sees through any darkness, knows what's going on. But I think that we would agree today, there's people that don't want the light of salvation in their life. They do not want to repent. They enjoy the darkness. They enjoy the perverseness. They enjoy the evilness that is rampant in the world today. That's the reason that they don't want people telling them what you're doing is wrong. They don't like that. They don't want you pointing them to what thus saith the word of God. They'll say, away with it. Give me the world and give me the darkness so I can continue to live in the sinful life that I live. But folks, if we're expecting everybody to join hands and say, oh man, it's just a great place, I don't know if we ought to read the Word of God again. Let us know that perilous times is coming, and we must be ready. And church, above all, the saints of God got to be ready. You got to be strong. You got to be battle tested. Man, just a quick analysis of what's going on in the battle today. They're saying that many of those infantry men and women have been cast into battle without proper training. you may hear some of the same messages over and over and over and again, and you may question that, but we're being battle tested. It's a place of boot camp, if you will, spiritual boot camp. We're being prepared. Amen. It's not pleasant in the world. It's not easy fighting against the flesh and against the warfare that Satan comes and bombard us on a daily basis. But I will tell you, even though it's not fun, even though it's not attractive, amen, we still have the power over him through Jesus Christ. Amen. We have that wonderful armor, amen, to cover us. So we need to be strong. We need to be battle tested. We need to be prepared. And the way we be prepared is through the word of God, prayer and fasting, and be ready when the devil comes against us. Nevertheless. And then he says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I'm so thankful that someone showed me the light. I'm so thankful for someone who stood in the pulpit and preached. You know what? Life can be hard. Life can be tough. We know that we have an adversary. Amen. But nevertheless, we have hope in Jesus Christ. And if you'll come to Jesus, he'll forgive you. If you confess, if you ask him with a repentive, a broken and contrite spirit, Lord Jesus, I can't make it on my own. I need you to come into my life. Jesus will come into your life. He'll fill you with his glorious spirit. You will be prepared for anything that we face in this world. Amen. Light in a dark world. If you're looking and all you're seeing is darkness, you're looking in the wrong direction. If all you're seeing is evil, I'm telling you, there's still good in this world. And the goodness is from God. Amen. And those that have accepted him and are living for him. You know, sometimes we're discouraged when we see small numbers. But if we look and see the multitude of people in other nations that are worshiping, glorifying, and praising God, we know that God's army is strong. We know that God's army is vibrant. And we know that God's army is going to win because he is our captain. If you believe that, give him praise in the house this morning. We're glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have a wonderful opportunity. One that I guess parents and grandparents dream about, especially as a pastor. Many, many years ago, in fact, we got some photographs, not on our cell phone, but we got some photographs in a shoebox or somewhere where I had the opportunity to baptize my daughter. And we were trying to think how long ago it was, and she said, Daddy, I was small. I was really young. And then years passed by, generations, and we found out this week that her son, Trey, wants to be baptized this morning. So he's been in church since the day that he was born, and he's been in Sunday school class and children's church, and he knows about baptism, and he knows about repentance, and he wants to do it now. Now, he was told that his sister would not be able to be here today because she's at a dance competition, so they asked him, would he wait, please wait till maybe next Sunday so she could see it. He thought about it and said, no, I just don't want to keep God waiting. Oh, that the world. Yes. Oh, that the world would get a hold of that. I don't want to put it off another day. I want to get it done today. Amen. So we're going to invite Children's Church to come and be a part of it. In fact, maybe if the music would come and play something as they come. I know they want to be a part of it. And he was really excited all week until this morning. And then the reality hit. And it's not. He's not afraid of the water. He's not afraid of that. But he said, Papa, everybody will be looking at me. So I said, well, let's go. That's because they love you and they want to see that. So I'm going to ask the music to come, sing something, whatever. Is Children's Church coming up? All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And Mom and Dad, they'll probably be wanting to get their video ready or something. What are we going to sing? Well, how about this in F? Well, I've been to the river. I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from this creature that once I was, and redeemed is now my name. Oh, I've been changed.
I've been newborn now. All my life has been rearranged. Well, what a difference it made since the Lord came and stayed in my heart. Oh, yes, I've been changed. Well, when at last in His presence I stand above, He will wipe all the tears from my eyes. And I thank Him for giving a wrench like me lasting hope beyond the skies. Well, I've been changed. I've been new for now. All my life has been rearranged.
Father, we're so thankful, God, for this soul. God, who has read your word and understands, Lord, that you've asked us, Lord, you've told us in your word to be baptized and to take on the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an honor this morning to baptize this, my grandson, Ray Brown, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to stand right there? Okay, you don't have to go all the way. Now, get the picture. All right, go get warm. Praise the Lord. God bless you, church. We love you so very much. God is so good. Amen. Brother Jim, if anyone needs prayer or something, I mean,
absolutely,
give them an opportunity.
Absolutely.
What a wonderful time. Let's give the Lord.
Just praise his holy name.
You know, it was mentioned in Sunday school this morning that we've got family, but then there's family. And each and every one of y'all are family, and we just love each and every one of you. Just wonderful that we get to celebrate this with Trey and his family, but as part of our family, as we just reach out, Christ just put us all together as brothers, sisters in Christ. Also at this time, it's a powerful message this morning. This altar is open. If anyone would like prayer, please come on up, and we will be glad to pray with you. Be honored to pray with you. Praise God. Yes, sir. Just want to say as we prepare to pray and close, I want to invite each and every one of you to our service tonight. Come and join us, and also be in much prayer for our multi-church service next Sunday night too. I want to have all of you here. But you know, it's wonderful. We think sometimes that we're the purpose of this church, but when we look at all these little ones here and know that there's a children's church going on Wednesday night, they have their Bible studies and their drama teams. We have the teens that are growing up so fast. This is the church of today. This is the faith, and may we all be in that faith. All righty, with all hearts and minds are clear, we're going to take an intermission just till service tonight at 6. Come and join us. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for this wonderful message you brought forward to us, dear Lord, for letting us feel your holy presence. Lord, we know that you're answering prayers, dear Lord. We know that you're healing our bodies now. You're carrying those that need caring right now, dear Lord, those that are sick and shut in. Lord, we just give you all the honor and glory, dear Lord, as we go about your daily work, dear Lord. Guide and keep each and every ministry that goes forth from here. Lord, keep us safe, dear Lord. Bring us back at our appointed time. And we give you all the honor and glory in the most precious name of all, the name of Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen, amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. Praise God.